Harper Audio presents Positive, a novel by David Wellington, performed by Nick Podell. Part 1. The Beginning of the World. Chapter 1. New York City is still in pretty good shape. Manhattan, I mean. Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx have all been left to rot. There just weren't enough people to hold them. So they can be pretty dangerous. Not so much because of the occasional zombie you find around the peripheries, but because the buildings are falling down, and the water out there is very toxic. Staten Island? Well, nobody wants to go to Staten Island. Parts of it are still on fire. But in Manhattan, we have electricity, sometimes, and the skyscrapers in Midtown were built to hold up. The elevators don't work, but the lowest couple of floors are still livable. On top of the smaller buildings, we've planted gardens to catch the sun and the rain, to supplement the daily minimum caloric ration the government provides. That's where most of us work every day. Even some of the first generation, the ones who weren't too traumatized during the crisis, work in the gardens. It's not like they're much use for anything else. They're always scared to go down to street level, even though nobody's seen a zombie in Manhattan in 15 years. The second generation, my generation, pretty much have the run of the place. There are still caches of canned food to find, old civil defense bunkers and fallout shelters, and supplies set aside for hurricanes or floods or earthquakes that never came. You can't catch fish off the piers, because the Hudson and the harbor aren't clean yet. But you can trap eels and crabs in the old subway stations. That's what I was doing the day I got my tattoo. Subway fishing. My friend Ike and I headed down early to the West 28th Street station. It was still mostly dark, with just a little blue light frosting the concrete fronts of all the buildings. The Empire State hovered over us in the dawn mist, its dark spire like a line cutting the sky in half. A couple of birds that had a nest on a streetlight were making the only sound, fluttering their wings and screaming at us, warning us away from their territory. We ignored them and headed down a long street full of boarded-up shops. There was nothing in those stores anybody could want, just crates of perfume and cell phones and women's dresses in faded patterns. Every one of those stores had been picked over a dozen times and stripped of anything of real value. Ike was younger than me, 14 maybe, with long sandy hair and eyes the color of the mud in Central Park. He was a good guy, if a little morbid. He and I used to scout together, working our way up skyscrapers floor by floor, breaking into old apartments, hoping to find food. We never found anything but skeletons, of course. When the crisis started, a lot of people had been so scared, they locked themselves inside their apartments and starved to death, rather than risk going down to the street to look for food. By the time we found them, there was nothing left but bones and empty cabinets. Even the rats had moved on. Ike would take out his frustration by arranging the skeletons in rude poses. That never had much attraction for me. Maybe I was just more mature, owing to my age. Who knows? By the time I was a teenager, it was obvious we weren't going to find any amazing caches of food in the high-rises, just mortal remains. And climbing all those stairs was a pain in the ass. Now, when we went looking for food, we went down instead of up. At the entrance to the station, Brian was waiting for us. Brian was first generation, about 40 years old, but still pretty tough. One of the few who wasn't just sitting around waiting to die. He'd seen it all, lived through it, and managed to survive. Now he carried a shotgun around with him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?